Good afternoon, everyone out there in hockey land. This is Scott Cole with the In the Crease Avalanche Review, where we cover all things Colorado Avalanche and NHL related that's happened in the last week. We are recapping week number 3 in the NHL with Colorado Avalanche, where we went 3-1 for that week. Lost the game against Anaheim on Sunday, a mini-series sweep against the San Jose Sharks, and first game against the Minnesota Wild was a 5-1 win. We're going to go ahead and jump right into it. I have Mike Herschel with me. He's FaceTiming today, so bear with us if you cannot hear him completely. We are working on it. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, Scott. Thanks for having me on, man. Sorry I can't be there in person.
Oh, it's all good, man. We all get it. It's travel. You live on one side of the city, then where I live, I'm having car troubles right now, and this honestly seems like the easier option to save us both a little bit of gas money or difficulties. So it happens, but we make it work. It's one step closer to us to potentially doing a live stream versus, you know, just FaceTiming each other and doing our podcast. Hopefully we can get a live stream going, bump up the audience a little bit, and still do our podcast at the same time. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to doing that, actually getting our faces out there a little bit more. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. We had that game against Anaheim on Sunday, the 24th. The Avs lost 3-1 to Anaheim. A lot of people weren't happy with the loss, thinking Anaheim's not a great team. But they have arguably one of the better goaltenders out there that's been playing at the NHL level for some time. 33 shots on goal against Gibson. He stopped all but one of those shots, and we outshot the Ducks 33-15 that game, but still they put 3 goals on us. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I mean, what else can you say besides, you know, when it comes to John Gibson, when you run into a hot goalie, it really causes problems for your offensive output, and, you know, kind of makes a lot of fans, you know, blame your own goalie. So why can't you be like him? Listen, when you run into a hot goalie, you run into a hot goalie. There's just nothing you can do about it except for keep pounding shots on him and hopefully one goes in. Luckily, you know, Mikko Rantanen found the back of the net against MacKinnon on a really, really hard-fought line. So, you know, it wasn't a shutout, but again, Gibson stood on his head for 99.9% of that game.
Yeah, you faced 33 shots in a game, and, you know, you let one in. I mean, they peppered him with shots that entire game. I mean, you know, you did what you could, but also we went 0-for-4 on the power play, and the Ducks as a team also had 23 blocked shots in the game. If you're talking shot total, the Avs put up 56 shots towards that net, and 33 of them got through. So, I mean, good team play, solid goaltending. The Ducks just had our number that night.
Exactly. And, again, that happens. You know, I have not been alive to see an NHL team go into a perfect season. Obviously, this season didn't start out that well for the Avalanche, obviously with the loss at home. But you know what? It's okay. Obviously, throughout the week, we saw the Avalanche bounce back with 3 straight wins. A first series sweep against the Sharks, and then the first of 4 games against Minnesota last night. So if it did rattle them, it obviously didn't show in their following games. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that speaks to the ability of Jared Bednar to really control this team and be like, hey, look, you know, exactly what we were saying. He was a hot goaltender tonight. Gibson's a big guy in net. It's not like it's some scrawny stick sitting in the net, you know, that you're trying to shoot pucks past and it's just not going your way. Bednar really coaches this team well, and, you know, every single series, the first 3 series of the season, it was, you know, we got to bounce back, or, you know, we won the first one, let's go out and give it our best effort to try and win the second one. And I see a lot of Avalanche fans are like, the LA Kings are a bad team, the Anaheim Ducks are a bad team, the San Jose Sharks are a bad team. I'm like, these guys are NHL professional players. There's no bad team. Well, you know, there might be with Detroit right now, but they're in a rebuild mode. They're in a serious rebuild mode. But the idea is there aren't really that many bad teams in the NHL. There are teams that struggle because of the talent that's on the team, but you can't just put them down. You look at the LA Kings series. That's a team that's got five or six savvy veterans on their team that have played in that LA system for their entire careers. We're talking 10-plus years with the LA Kings. And then you've got the Anaheim Ducks, who are on the same boat. They have some good, solid veterans that have played on that team for years. Gibson's been with that team for years, the same as Jonathan Quick's been with the LA Kings for years. And then, again, we go to the San Jose Sharks. We did them dirty with a 7-3 win on the 26th. And Martin Jones, who's been with the Sharks for years, and Devin Dubnyk, bless his soul, doesn't matter where he goes, he comes and plays the Avs, and he has a hard time. So these California teams, although they struggle, they look like they're struggling right now, they're not bad teams. I spoke with you on this. The San Jose Sharks are all about winning. They've been about winning for 20-plus seasons. They've missed the playoffs 3 times in the last 20 years when I was doing my research, probably even longer than that. They've had a track record of being a playoff-caliber team. And what happens with a playoff team when it comes to the trade deadline? They're buyers. They're wanting to bring in players that are going to push them over that edge. And so the Sharks have been one of those teams. They've been consistent buyers. And with that, their draft capital kind of dwindles. They don't get those top prospects in the top 10 or anything. So they got to run with what they have. So a bunch of veterans. And maybe that's what's doing the Sharks in right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you touched on it in an earlier episode where the California teams, you know, it just seems like they're not gelling well with their veterans when it comes to meshing with their younger talent. Now, are they getting, as you said, the top tier, you know, the top tier prospects? Probably not, because they have been that team. They have been that team that's been able to, you know, what was it, 2 years ago that they beat us in seven? They beat the Colorado Avalanche in 7 games?
Yeah, 2 seasons ago we lost to the Sharks in 7 games. A lot of controversy surrounding a couple of those games, which led to the change in the offside rule this season. You know, fans across Colorado fans will address it as the Landeskog rule under the offsides, where your skate doesn't have to be touching the blue line, it can be hovering over the blue line, kind of like the pylon in the NFL. You know, the ball crosses the pylon zone, then it's a touchdown. So, different rule,
right?
And it's I don't think we've seen it have a major effect yet this season, but an interesting rule nonetheless.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, like, and kind of touching back on the Sharks. When it comes to their offensive output, okay, you know, losing Joe Thornton, you know, going to I think he went to Toronto,
yeah,
and
Toronto,
not necessarily
down in
having
Dallas.
What's that?
And Pavelski's down in Dallas now. That's been a couple of years.
Yeah, and Pavelski's been in Dallas exactly for a couple of years. So not having that senior leadership might open some doors. I just don't think the Sharks are right at that point yet. And obviously with the 2 games that the Colorado Avalanche played against them this past week, it showed that, yep. I think it was a different tier that the San Jose Sharks just aren't comfortable at yet, specifically because they haven't been at that tier for such a long time. You said they missed 3 postseason appearances in the last 20 years.
Yep.
That tells me that they are a consistent playoff tier team, and this is unusual and unfamiliar ground that they're currently on right now.
Absolutely. So we'll go ahead and dive into the games against the Sharks. January 26th, that was this past Tuesday, the Avalanche went on a tear. Even though the Sharks put up the first goal in the first period, you get to the last 10 minutes of that first period, and it was a completely different story. The first period ended up 3-1 in favor of the Avalanche, but the story of that game was the secondary scoring. You go back to the Anaheim series and the LA series, and what we were missing was that lack of secondary scoring. you know, Donskoy, Kadri, Saad, you know, some of these secondary players, you know, weren't getting on the score sheet consistently. Yes, Saad had a goal here, or Donskoy had a power play assist here, or something like that, but you weren't seeing them step up and push the puck anymore. And, you know, you have to go, you know, and I wrote down the list in order of who scored what. Donskoy scored the first goal. Then Brandon Saad scored a goal, and then Mikko Rantanen, I think, was the third goal of the game in that first period. But, you know, Donskoy, Johnson, Valeri Nichushkin, Brandon Saad, Kale McCarr, Andrei Burakovsky was back for the, you know, came back during the San Jose series, and they give us a 3-1 start. You know, that game ends with 14 different Avalanche players on the scoring sheet. You know, if you think about it, you've got 12 forwards and 6 defensemen, that's 18 people on the ice, and 14 of them are on the score, on the scoring sheet. That's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. And it goes to show, I mean, if you, specifically talking about Nichushkin's goal, okay, that
goal in the second period you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. To me, when you put a hard worker such as Nichushkin out there on the penalty kill, being that forechecker, which, I mean, he has a long, long reach, so why wouldn't he be the forecheck for the penalty kill? But what a hard worker, man. And I'm so thankful it paid off. Wasn't there some not confusion, but there's some argument whether that goal was good, right? Like, he might have kicked it in or whatever. Gibson was,
I think that was part of the issue. Like, he poke-checked at the blue line, kind of, he skated forward, was skating with the puck. And I think at some point, if you go back and look at it, it kind of looks like there was a kicking motion of, like, his skate turned, and it looked like it bounced in off the skate or anything. I think it was reviewed. I don't think there was an official coach's challenge, but I think the NHL reviewed the goal in Toronto, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good goal, and play continued. But it was definitely entertaining to see, and, you know, Avs fans will know that Colorado is one of those teams, like, they could, you know, when they get going, they could score a shorthanded goal, you know, any game that they have a penalty kill. You know, you got shorthanded specialists like JT Compher, Matt Calvert, who currently isn't playing, and we'll dive into Matt Calvert's issue here in just a little bit. But, Nichushkin, Calvert, and JT Compher are the three guys you can see on the penalty kill pretty consistently because of their ability and what they've done in the past. I mean, hell, we all remember JT Compher on one penalty kill scoring two goals. Two shorthanded goals on one.
Oh yeah, man!
So, I don't think that's ever going to happen again in the NHL. I won't say it won't ever happen again, but it's highly unlikely. That's a difficult thing to do,
right?
But I mean, 14 Avs on the score sheet. You had Kale McCarr with 3 points. Saad had 2 goals. Rantanen continued his scoring streak at that point in time. MacKinnon gets an assist. I mean. And this got covered last night. MacKinnon only has 2 goals so far on the season, and they're both coming on the power play. So MacKinnon's raring to go, and I think I'm going to place another bet. MacKinnon scoring a goal tonight. So, for those of you who do some betting, I placed a bet on Mikko Rantanen scoring a goal last night. $26 turned into $86.60, so I'm very happy about that. You know, small bets. And,
hey, congratulations, man.
Herschel, you do pretty well on some DraftKings lineups yourself when it comes to hockey. Am I correct?
Yeah. I won myself a little bit of change, some pocket change last night for sure. It was a good feeling. Kind of makes me reinforces the idea that I think I know hockey pretty well.
That's all it takes, man. It's just, you know, a couple dollars here and there. You don't have to make a big bet to win a bunch of big money. You can build it up slowly. There's nothing wrong with that. So. The thing I liked about the game on the 26th was something that got preached by Jared Bednar and the coaching staff was shots on goal, just pepper shots on goal, and see what happens. As we talked in that January 24th game against the Ducks, Abs outshot the Ducks 33-15. The game on the 26th, the Abs outshot the Sharks 42-30. That is just pure shots on goal. I'm not counting block shots or anything else from that game. 42-30. Right. That's a lot of shots going on Martin Jones. And Martin Jones did get pulled after giving up the fifth goal. So the last two goals were on Devan Dubnyk, who took over, I think, with like 15 to 13 minutes left to go in the second period. You know, Martin Jones didn't have that great of a leash after giving up three quick goals in the first.
Yeah, and I'm looking up a little stat here. The Sharks had 14 block shots.
So you throw that on top, so you're looking at 56 shots being thrown on net by the Avalanche, and man, the Sharks just couldn't get a hand on it.
And I guarantee you their bodies were probably black and bruised after that night, and I'm not talking from hits either.
No, you go back to the hotel, and you're just like, everybody's down at the hot tub, just kind of like, oh, this feels amazing. But if the hot tub is even open, if not, then they're stuck with their showers in their hotel rooms, trying to work out those bumps and bruises. So on to the 28th this past Thursday, Avalanche wins 3-0. Grubauer gets his second shutout of the season and his 13th of his career. I have to say, this Philip Grubauer that we're seeing in this shortened season, especially with the absence of Pavel Francouz, and we'll cover that as well in our injury report. I like the Grubauer I'm seeing right now.
Absolutely. He kind of reminds me of the backup days, you know, when he was backing up Braden Holtby for the Cup contenders, eventual Cup winners in the Washington Capitals. I'm liking what I'm seeing, man.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he faced 21 shots that night. The Avs had 38 shots on goal. I believe there were quite a few posts in that game as well. What was it, like six post shots in that entire game?
I thought it was six post shots from the first and second period. I don't know if there was any in the third, but I heard Mark Mosier say something.
There was a post shot in at least one in every period. I think it was six total for the game. I mean, McKinnon hit a post, McCarr hit a post, I think Byram hit a post, and Mikko Rantanen hit a post. Mikko Rantanen, for those of you who don't know, Mikko Rantanen is now tied with the great Connor McDavid for seven goals on the season, leading the NHL. And I believe both Edmonton and Colorado, excuse me, I think both those teams play tonight. You know, I had Ryan Nugent Hopkins in my fantasy lineup, and he didn't do me very well last night, so might be a mistake, but I benched him. But we'll see. But
I got you.
I put Sebastian Aho in for the Carolina Hurricanes, and, you know, that guy's got some skills, so I think the Hurricanes have a easier path to scoring goals than what the Oilers do in the Canadian division.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a little, I don't want to say like relieving, but it's kind of a comfort to know that we don't really have to worry about Connor McDavid and Ryan Nugent Hopkins until, you know, possibly the playoffs.
Until possibly the conference finals.
Exactly. And by then, you know, we'll kind of have an ideal roster, you know? Hopefully there won't be a lot of injuries, and hopefully both of our starting goaltenders will be, you know, healthy and rearing to go, man.
It'll definitely be interesting to see what happens there. During this run against the Sharks and going back a few games, Mikko Rantanen did something that just amazes me. He went on a tear of six straight games with a goal. I think it was listed that he was the I did a report on it, Rocky Mountain Sports Report, or RockyMountainSR.com. I put an article up there. I think I was covering the game on the 26th, and it's one of the tidbits in there with his sixth goal, six straight games with a goal. I think it was him, Nathan MacKinnon, Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, and Milan Hayduk who have all accomplished that feat. You know, six straight games. The record, right, which is tied for second longest streak in Avalanche history. The longest streak in Colorado Avalanche history is 7 games. So I was really hoping for him to get that goal on the 28th on Thursday against the Sharks, and he just rang it off the post, and that was the best chance he had. But if you go back and watch that game on Thursday against the Sharks, you can see the Avalanche feeding Rantanen in the puck, trying to get him that seventh goal, that seventh right straight game with a goal. And they tried so many times, and it just didn't happen. But the streak holders for 7 games is our own GM Joe Sakic. He's done it twice, and Milan Hayduk.
Right.
Milan Hayduk's done it once. So those are
the great Milan. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why his kids skate circles around people. He knows what he's doing.
Yep, all the more reason to put your trust in those guys, man. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
And credit to where credit's due. I mean, Rantanen, you know, 6 games with the goal, almost a seventh. And God, can you just imagine walking in the locker room? You know, maybe not really disappointed, but more happy that your team got a win, and the rest of your team's kind of just like, Mikko, sorry, dude, like, we were trying to get it to you. He's just like, bro, whatever.
He's like, whatever,
a win's a win, man.
And that's what I love about this Avalanche roster right now is, despite the injuries that have piled up as of late, we'll cover that right after we cover the Minnesota game last night. We'll jump right into our injury report. This team is so on, you know, such an even keel. The chemistry's there, even with these young talents coming in and, you know, playing, jumping in where injuries are. The chemistry's there. This team is hungry for it, and every single line is capable of scoring, as we saw with last night's game against Minnesota. So Saturday night, January 30th, a 6 o'clock game. Thank God it was a 6 o'clock game. You know, playing out in California, we get a lot of these 8 o'clock games, but we had a 6 o'clock game playing in Minnesota, the first of 4 straight games against Minnesota. Which is pretty...
Yeah, it kind of feels like a playoff series, doesn't it?
It's a mini playoff series, and I believe this is one of three sets that the Avalanche will have where they play the same opponent like 4 times in a row. I think we do it with Vegas once, and I think there's a San Jose series that happens like that too. Or a St. Louis series.
Wow.
I think it's a St. Louis series. But, I mean, man, could you imagine a 4-game series against St. Louis? That is going to be intense.
I don't want to imagine their bruising style of play for four games in a row, bro.
Grief, man. I mean, can't imagine. Everybody knows, last night was an Avalanche win, 5-1. The one goal coming from Matt Dumba of the Minnesota Wild, and that goal was just kind of an odd one. You know, Grubauer was in great position, had the glove up right next to the post, and Dumba's just like, I'll throw it off your face.
Off your face, yeah.
it hit Grubauer in the face. He kind of caught him off guard, and it went in the net. And that was the only goal early in the first period to tie the game up at 1 for Minnesota Wild. And from there on, it was the Avalanche in full control of that game. And we'll backtrack a little bit. The first goal for the Avalanche came from a surprising source for a lot of Avalanche fans. It came from that fourth line, and that fourth line was everywhere last night. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm looking at the TV and it's, oh, look, there goes Jost O'Connor and Sherwood. Like, Jarrett Bednar, like, played them throughout the game last night just because he could and because they were causing havoc on the ice. Their speed, their tenacity, even their defense at times was pretty amazing to watch.
Absolutely. I mean, talk about Logan O'Connor, okay? And correct me if I'm wrong, but he went to the University of Denver, didn't he?
He was a DU Pioneer, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Man, when I first watched him, the first thing I noticed was his speed. And boy, did he put on a show last night. I mean, talk about hustle. kind of like in the absence of Matt Calvert, he absorbed Matt Calvert energy and started skating around the ice, man, being everywhere, all up in everybody's face, forecheck, backcheck. Obviously, that first goal that got us, got the Avs going. I mean, what a player. What a night for him.
You got to sit there and you got to look at that first goal and you got to think, that kind of had to be on purpose, the way he shot that puck. I mean, that puck got maybe like half an inch off the ice, and it just stayed that low. And Kakanen had lost his stick at that point, so it literally hit his stick and just went into the net. Because that puck was going to go off into the corner.
Wide, for sure. Stick. Yeah.
So I had to think that goal was that shot was kind of on purpose, and he kind of saw that from, you know, out above the faceoff circle. But I mean, talk about a beautiful goal. And this is a player in Logan O'Connor that, you know, was kind of timid, you know, the few times we saw him in 2019-2020. And then due to injuries to Landeskog, Calvert, and Donskoy, we saw O'Connor in that series against Dallas for five of those games. And you kind of saw this Logan O'Connor kid kind of break out of a shell and be like, I'm just going to go out there and hustle and play and do my part. And I think it's made him a much better player. And the Avs recognize the talent. And they're like, this is the O'Connor we want to see. This is the guy that we need on the ice. And for that, he's been awarded. He played several. I got to look at the minutes he played last night. But he played a good chunk of minutes, I would say. And that fourth line is put together again for tonight. Tonight's game against Minnesota. Even though we release this podcast on Tuesdays, we do cover, you know, the past week on the weekends, and then we publish it. So we will cover some stuff that has yet to happen, but will happen before the podcast releases. But they're set,
absolutely.
But they're set to play again tonight. That fourth line.
Well, I can't wait, man. I mean, my DraftKings lineup is just looking more and more pretty the more times I open up the screen, man. I might have to start putting Logan O'Connor in there if he absorbs more of that Matt Calvert energy, like chi, if you will.
Yeah, it was impressive to see. I mean, you know, the forechecking, the and all that other stuff last night was pretty intense. Speaking of checking, let's talk about Bowen Byram. All right, so tonight is officially Bowen Byram's eighth game with the Colorado Avalanche, which means for all the fans out there, ourselves included, Bowen Byram is officially staying. I believe he's going to be staying with the Avalanche for the rest of the season, and they are going to be burning the first year of his entry-level contract this season. So let's hope Bowen Byram starts lighting up the scoreboard. I would love to see this kid potentially throw his name in the hat for the Calder Trophy this year, and see if we can't repeat with two defensemen winning the Calder Trophy in back-to-back years for the Colorado Avalanche.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I reached out and do something. His play last night was phenomenal, and I think the best highlight I can think of is him in his defensive zone, clearing the puck out, looking back over his shoulder to see a Minnesota player coming in to kind of like forecheck him, and he throws the back check. It knocks a dude on the ice.
Yeah.
This kid is 19 years old. Watching the game last night, they showed a stat last night that as of March 2nd of this year, Bowen Byram will be the only teenager on the blue line of any team in the NHL. And his ability and his awareness of where he is on the ice and how he moves and everything for a 19-year-old is phenomenal. This kid is a good 5-6 years away from being in his prime in the NHL, and we're already seeing some pretty amazing talent. What do you think about that, Mike?
I mean, there's a reason why Joe Sakic's the way he is, right? There's a reason why he looks at players and then goes, okay, all right, you're almost there. I bet I can tweak that just a little bit. So speaking about Bowen Byram kind of just puts me in like a state of like excitement, right? So seeing what Bo and Byram did last night, obviously with the back check and, you know, obviously with movement puck. And did you see that no-look pass he had? He just hit Ratman on the fly, no-look, just like, yeah, you're right there, cool.
He dug the puck out, did a little spinorama, and just like threw it, and it hit the tape just perfectly, and just boom, boom. It was a tic-tac-toe pass out of the zone, and like most people, they try to do it. Coaches look at you like, what the hell was that? But they looked at Byram, and they're like, okay, we'll take it.
Like, all right. Exactly. So but watching Bo and Byram proceed and what his mannerisms are game after game after game, in and out and on and off the ice, like, it just puts me for an excitement. And I am one of those guys who didn't want to see Bo and Byram this year. I didn't want to see him because I didn't want him to burn a year of his entry-level contract on this shortened season. I am one of those guys. I don't think I've been proven wrong, like, necessarily, but I'm happy with what I've seen so far, especially with such a young guy, especially with this 19-year-old who has had the weight of the world put on his shoulders, essentially being, ooh, he's that fourth pick, he did really well, at the, you know, the World Juniors. So how's that going to translate to the professional world?
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait, man. I just can't wait to see more. And I'm going to lose it when he scores his first NHL goal. I'm going to lose it.
Let's hope it comes sooner rather than later. A lot of fans, I think, are in that same boat, just waiting for Bo and Byram to get that first NHL goal, get that monkey off his back, and everything else. But I sit there and I look at it, and I think the coaching staff might be in the same boat. They're like, "Hey, man, just keep doing what you're doing. Play a solid defense. Hop in on the rush whenever you can. Do what you got to, you know." Work within the chemistry and the scheme that we got going on, and eventually that goal is going to come. It's the same thing with Nathan MacKinnon. Like I said earlier in the podcast, MacKinnon's only got 2 goals on the season, and both of those are coming off of power plays, you know, so it's not even an even strength goal. MacKinnon's putting the puck on the net. He's hitting the post. Like last night, he had a good shot that bounced off of Kakinen's right shoulder, and like had it reflected up, it probably would have gone in, but it hit and went down. So it was, and ended up being a save. Those goals are going to come for those big players. MacKinnon, you know, Byram being that rookie, he'll get there. It's going to happen. I'm not concerned with him, you know, lighting up the score sheet as long as his defensive game, which so far has proven to be pretty damn solid in my opinion.
Absolutely, man. I don't know how many blocks. Do you have a stat on how many block shots he has so far?
I do not have that off the top of my head. I'd have to do some research on it. But, I mean, his ability to, you know, to take a hit. Like, his first game, he got knocked on his rear end pretty hard. And he got up, skated off, and went about his day. And I think since that first game, when he got knocked around, he stood his ground, you know. I think Eric Johnson and Cale Makar are like, "Hey, man, I was in your shoes." You know, not Eric Johnson, but Cale Makar. "Hey, man, I was in your shoes last year, and they did a lot of that to me. You got to watch for that because they're coming after you." And he's like, "All right, I got it." And he's standing his ground. So I'm happy to see Bo and Byram out there. I fully expect to see him really shine a lot more and move on from there. So we're going to move on. Our next topic, was going to be the injury report. The Avalanche are facing, some significant issues here and there. One being the game load on, Philip Grubauer, as Pavel Francouz has yet to start a game for the Avalanche. I believe is currently on the IR and is listed as out indefinitely with a lower body injury. Kind of worries me a little bit hearing that Pavel Francouz is dealing with a lower body injury. For goalies, that could be anything from a severe hamstring strain, a groin issue, a hip issue. The list goes on and on and on for goalies. And fortunately, we have a pretty good tandem behind Philip Grubauer right now. Both Colorado Eagles goalies, Hunter Miska and Adam Werner, are up with the club. Hunter Miska tonight, January 31st, is getting the start in Minnesota on this back-to-back series. And Adam Werner is currently serving as the goalie on the taxi squad. What do you feel about our goalie situation and the injury to Pavel Francouz there, Mike?
Well, if there's any, I would say, you know, negative activity, negative thoughts towards, you know, the Avalanche's, you know, injury, quote unquote, injury prone goaltenders, my words are this: keep the faith. Okay, Philip Grubauer is obviously a solid goaltender. Pavel Francouz, you know, while he is injury prone, he's still a solid goaltender. Yeah, it sucks when it, you know, an injury takes, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to heal, whatever that is. And I hope he gets back on the ice as soon as possible, because I love Frankie. I mean, who cannot love Frankie being a Colorado Avalanche fan? But this just comes, you know, goes to show Joe Sakic's, like, ability to recognize talent when he sees it. You know, maybe he's in touch with Patrick Waugh, and Patrick Waugh is kind of, like, doing some off-screen advising or whatever, but Hunter Miska and Adam Werner are both solid goaltenders. I think you would brought up the gentleman's name, Eustace Annunen, right, for the Finn League, for the FICA Liga. Yeah.
Yep, he's currently playing over in Finland and should be getting an invite to training camps next offseason, and will probably be our starting goaltender down with the Colorado Eagles next season. At least I hope.
Okay. So speaking along that, I mean, maybe it's just like a little drop in the water, right? Like, you know, the ripples in the pond kind of thing. Where Joe Sakic's like, listen, y'all, like, I know you guys are good, but just to let you know, I have this stud over in Liga right now, and, like, I'm going to be sending him an invite. So if you guys want to stay here, prove it to me. And I know you can prove it to me, and I know you're good. So keep doing what you're doing. Bottom line is, I have full faith in this Colorado lineup when it comes to goaltenders. When it comes to everybody, obviously, but when it comes to goaltenders, yeah, we have goalies that can and have proved to be, you know, kind of injury prone, but at the same time, we have reliable backups that I'm proud to say that are part of the Colorado Avalanche organization. I have, you know, zero concerns as far as, ooh, well, you know, we can't go anywhere if we don't have a solid goaltender. Well, that's why there's so many offensive weapons on the ice for the Avs. That's why there's so many offensive skaters. You know what I mean?
And that's why the Avalanche over the past few years have beefed up this defense with this younger talent, is to stand head and shoulders in front of those goaltenders and provide them as much support as possible. A goaltender is great, but they're not anything without the ability of the players in front of them blocking shots, clearing the zones, and applying offensive pressure to the opposing team. So great points on that, Mike. I truly feel everybody needs to just kind of take a deep breath when it comes to our goaltender situation and let it play out. Adam Werner's first game was a loss, but he played very well in that game against the Kings, and it was just unfortunate. Some of the goals that got let in were just pure snipe shots. There's nothing Hunter Miska could do about those shots, but he played very well, in my opinion, and I expect him to do just as well tonight against Minnesota. On another note, Philip Grubauer is one of the top goaltenders in the league right now. His goals against average is less, I believe, like a 1.5 or less right now, which is leading the NHL or close to it. Former Avalanche goaltender Semyon Varlamov is one of those top goaltenders now. I don't know if he's playing right now or if he might be dealing with a small injury tweak. But other injuries...
Varley injured? What?
What? How's that Vezina Trophy candidacy that you got?
Oh,
wait,
my God.
Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
You wasted 5 years after that, so whatever. So other injuries that we're facing... unfortunately, Matt Calvert is out indefinitely dealing with what has been reported as concussion-related symptoms. A lot of people are asking, well, we didn't see him take a hit. We didn't see any of this going on. Matt Calvert is a very tough player, very hard player, and plays a very tough game for his size, which means he gets hit and smashed around a little bit during games, and that leads to some injuries. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but Matt Calvert's been wearing a pink-tinted visor this season, and that's to deal with the lights, the lighting situation, and the brightness of the ice while he's playing. For those of you who haven't dealt with concussions or migraines or something like that, the brightness of the lights that shine in the hockey arenas and reflects off the ice can affect the dilation of the eyes, which will constantly move and create some dizziness or some blurriness at times, and can create some pretty intense headaches and migraines. So I think that's what Matt Calvert's dealing with right now, and I think he's probably going to seek out a specialist to help him deal with his ongoing issues. And the Colorado Avalanche organization are gracious enough to allow him to do so. I think that's what's going on with Matt Calvert right now. What do you think about that, Mike?
Hey, what you can't really do too much with the concussion stuff, man. Having suffered a few concussions in my life as well, there's no rush on it. You know, your safety's priority. Your safety's paramount. I think we've seen that in not only the Avalanche organization, but NHL-wide, league-wide, sport-wide. You know, maybe not MMA so much, but, there's no rush process for this. All you can hope for is a speedy, maybe not quote-unquote speedy recovery, but like a full recovery.
Quality recovery.
Exactly. So, you know, just a full recovery. I hope him all the best, man. I really hope this isn't his last year, but if he has to step away due to safety reasons, hey, I'm glad he got to play for the Avs, man. But
absolutely.
You know what? That's a while down the road. I don't even want to think about that. All I want to do is see number 11 back out there on the ice for the Avs. So
I'm in the same boat with you, man. I think Matt Calvert, in his short time here with the Avalanche, has turned himself into an absolute fan favorite. I think he's one of my next jerseys. I don't care if it's his last season or not with us, but I absolutely love Matt Calvert and what he gives to us on the ice. Who else do we have on the injury list? Oh, yes, last night, Eric Johnson took a pretty significant hit on the boards.
Yeah.
It kind of looked a little questionable, but there was no penalty call on it. When he came down off that hit, his upper body made contact with the ice first, and his head, chin, neck area took a hit as well to the ice, and he immediately left the game. Eric Johnson did not return to last night's game. There is no, it's listed as an upper body injury on the injury report. I'm going to go ahead and say it, that he went through concussion testing protocols, did not pass, and was kept out of the game and is out tonight. We may not see Eric Johnson this week for the remaining games against Minnesota, or maybe a little bit more than that moving forward. It looks like a significant injury for Eric Johnson, who had just returned from his time away with COVID, and he missed the first set of away games due to him wanting to get some more conditioning. His first game back, he only played 10 minutes, and he was like, I'm just not ready. So it's unfortunate to see Eric Johnson go down like that, but he is out for some time. Again, like we said with the concussions, it's not something that the NHL wants to mess with. I mean, best example I have is Sidney Crosby missed an entire season with a concussion because they didn't want to mess with it. It's concussions are a serious thing. It leads to some internal brain injuries that we just don't understand, and it leads to some pretty significant issues. The NFL has done a significant study on this with the effects of concussions on the brains of their players and CTE and all that stuff. Two other injuries to cover, and then we'll start to wrap it up in time for us all to enjoy the game tonight. Pierre-Edouard Belmar. In the game on Thursday against the Sharks, in which the Avs won 3-0, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, I believe this was in the first period, suffered a pretty nasty injury, a knee-to-knee collision with a player from the San Jose Sharks. Was purely incidental. Sharks player lost an edge. Belmar was skating in pretty hard. And his right knee, I believe it was his right knee, wasn't it? Made contact.
Yeah, it was. It looked like a hyperextension.
Yeah. Made contact with the other player's knee, leg, upper leg area. The other player skated, I can't remember the other player's name, he skated off just fine. Belmar was on the ice for a significant amount of time and needed help from the coaching staff and the training staff to get off the ice. He did not return. It looks like a pretty significant knee injury. He may be missing some extended amount of time healing up that knee. I don't know if there was any cartilage tearing or anything else like that, but the knees are probably the most exposed part of an NHL player with all the padding and everything. So it's a tough look right there with Pierre-Edouard Belmar. What do you think about his injury there, Mike?
I mean, just another part of the Avalanche organization that's all hard. I think we talked about that in the beginning part of our podcast series, where Belmar is a lot like Calvert. There's a reason why they were on the same line. They're both full of heart, both hardworking players. Maybe not, the most point scorers or the most goal getters or sisters, but they can lay some hits. They can cause problems for the opposing team's defense as well as their offense. So
and
it's going to be.
And both those players are also huge contributors to the penalty kill for the Avalanche as well.
Exactly. And that's actually something else we have to touch on is the Avs penalty kill. But, I mean, Belmar is one of those players where you can't really replace him. You can just hope he gets, hope he gets better and better soon. We don't know what his injury is, right? Or do we?
Belmar, no. We do not know what his injury is. Hopefully it's just he needs time and rest and a little bit of physical therapy, and hopefully he'll be back. All we know is that it's listed as a lower body injury. For those who watch the game, it's specifically a knee injury, and I'm thinking it's probably just really sore, really inflamed, and possibly a minor tear or something. Nothing major, I'm hoping.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, you can't really replace Belmar. But you know what? I mean, what else can the Avs do besides soldier on and hopefully maintain that aggressive principle that fourth line obviously brings, that line brings. So
maintain that energy and that philosophy that the fourth line presents. And honestly, I think they did a really good job of maintaining that kind of flow with the fourth line last night with Tyson Jones, mm-hmm. Logan O'Connor, and Keeper Sherwood, which I have to say, I was impressed with that line last night. Our final injury to report is Devin Toews. I don't think he was expecting it. It didn't look like he was in the lane, but I don't think he was expecting the shot to happen. Shot from the, just a little wrist shot from the blue line, skipped across the ice at that level, and rang off of Devin Toews' right foot, his right skate. I don't know if he took it off. I don't know if the puck bounced off the blade or it bounced off the boot of his shoe, of his skate, which I think it probably hit off the boot. I mean, you get hit on the side. Wearing those skates, your feet are in such a tight amount of space. And anything, like the slightest little smack to the side of that boot, it hurts.
Right in the ankle bone, man. That was my worst fear playing hockey, was getting hit right in that ankle bone, extremity area.
Getting hit in the ankle bone, getting hit in the bridge, the arc of your foot with a puck, it hurts, And you know, right now I think they're saying Devin Toews has a bruised foot, which, I mean, it's like you take your foot out of the skate and it starts to swell up and it's like, all right, we want you to stick your foot back in the skate. And you're like, not possible, bro. It's not
good. Yeah, I need three sizes bigger, bro.
Yeah, and that's just not possible. So Devin Toews is out with a bruised foot. I don't think he went to Minnesota with the Avs. He's not listed on the lineup card today. He's listed as day-to-day, so I'm pretty sure we may see him Tuesday, if not Thursday, for sure. He'll probably my money's on Thursday that we'll see Devin Toews back in the lineup as a guarantee. That's my guarantee, not an NHL guarantee or anything, but I'd like to see him sooner than that because I have him on a fantasy lineup, and he's been amazing so far for the Avs in his ability to put points on the board. But that covers the injuries that I know of. You brought it up, Mike, the power play for the Colorado Avalanche or the penalty kill for the Colorado Avalanche. Both have been pretty impressive as of late. I talked about it before we got on this podcast. The Avalanche have not given up a power play goal in their last four or five games. But we're talking an average of three penalty kills per game going on for the last few games. They didn't get that. The Wild only had two power play chances last night. But, I mean, you got to talk about impressive, especially with the players that we've mentioned, Matt Calvert being out, Pierre-Édouard Bellemare being out. Both those individuals are huge members of the penalty kill.
Yeah. It's crazy. I would imagine it probably speaks volumes to the Avalanche's leadership, especially with, you know, maybe Gabriel Landeskog or Nathan MacKinnon just be like, hey, guys, hey, we can't be out there, obviously, because that's not our deal. That's not our forte. So, before Eric Johnson got hurt, maybe he had a big say in that. Like, bro, like, this is what's expected of this penalty killing unit. This is what you guys need to be. This is the type of echelon or the type of tier player that you need to be to help this penalty kill succeed in doing its job. If we kill off penalties, we kill off that man advantage, and we get more firepower on the ice, essentially, and we give more support to our goalie. You know, if we're only up by one, or got a bit tied, or even worse, if we're down a goal, you know. So I would like to think that Eric Johnson probably had a big say in that, and the leadership, not just from the players, but from Jared Bednar and the assistant coaches as well, probably tells the players, the relieving players, essentially, hey, this is what needs to happen. Go do it. Go do it right now and come back and we'll get this thing over with. It's okay. Fucking 2 minutes and we'll be good to go.
Absolutely. It's five consecutive games without a penalty power play given up that the Avs have done, and I believe it's four straight games with a power play, at least one power play goal, which is absolutely amazing for the Colorado Avalanche, and it's so great to see. A couple of big notes, and then we're gonna wrap it up so that everybody can get ready for the game tonight. We can get ready for the game tonight. I'll have an hour to watch before I have to go to work and then try and watch some of it while I'm at work tonight. A couple of things I want to cover. Nazem Kadri is sitting I have it written somewhere. I got to find it in my notes from last night as I was listening to the game. Nazem Kadri is sitting on point number 399. His next point will be his 400th in his career. So let's hopefully see Nazem Kadri kind of bounce back. He didn't do a whole lot last night and get that 400th point. The other big thing I wanted to point out, and I don't know if a lot of people heard it, watched it, anything else like that, February 4th of this year, which is this upcoming Thursday, the Colorado Avalanche are doing their I Fight for Canada, or Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Unfortunately, fans can't be there in attendance, but they are allowing fans to do a pregame placards that they're going to put up during the team warm-ups. If anybody wants to participate in that, they can. They're asking fans to go to coloradoavalanche.com/ifight4 and fill out your placard, and they will get them done up, and they'll put them up on the windows during the pregame warm-ups for the teams to kind of see and everything else like that. So if you're wanting to participate in that, go there, do that. Also, if you have one of those amazing Hockey Fights Cancer jerseys, show your support for the Colorado Avalanche and wearing those. I'll be wearing mine. And hopefully we continue to win these games. Tonight's game, I believe, is a 6 o'clock start time against the Minnesota Wild. Last game in Minnesota before we come back for our next two. And we will see what happens there. Hopefully we got another Avalanche win coming down the pipes. If you watch the pregame shows or anything else like that with the Colorado Avalanche, if you have the ability to do so, please do. It's a lot of fun. It's very entertaining. They do some sports betting type stuff where they put in their picks for whatever's going to happen. Me, personally, I'm going to go place my bet on BetMGM. I'm picking McKinnon to score anytime tonight, and I'm probably going to try and see if I can find a final score prediction and see what the odds are on that. My final prediction for tonight's game is going to be a 5-2 win for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. Mike, any last parting words?
Absolutely. I'm predicting a 4-1. I think the Avs are going to come out firing and then essentially battle for just basically a strong finish. I'm expecting Minnesota to come out pissed. Obviously, we saw them get a little gritty last night, a little nasty, and I think that'll be it'll be interesting to say the least, for sure. But I'm predicting the 4-1 Avs win. I might actually have to go to BetMGM and place a little bet of my own. Maybe, I don't know, I'll bet Cale Makar gets a goal tonight. I don't know.
All right, there you go. Last final thing, mentioning with the Minnesota Wild coming out firing tonight, I believe they may be without Matt Dumba tonight. He took a pretty nasty injury last night with his leg. He may not be there tonight. It's tough to bounce back from those kind of things. Getting your leg bent back underneath you after playing balls out last night. So I hope the Avs come out on top. My best wishes to Matt Dumba and all those other players that are suffering injuries. I love seeing the talents from both our team and other teams, and I don't wish injuries upon anyone. But that's going to do it for us this week in the Crease Avalanche Review. Stick with us. Hopefully we'll have a live stream coming up here in the next month or so. I'm going to start working out the kinks for that. And let's hope the Avs win tonight. You got our predictions, 5-2 from me, 4-1 from Mike, and hopefully one of us is right, and hopefully one of us gets a little money off that bet. But yeah, if you guys have anything else for us, please reach out to us. You can find me, email me personally, kingcolermsr@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Rocky Mountain Sports Report, and go check out our website, rockymountainsr.com, for any articles related to any Colorado sports. That's Broncos, Nuggets, Rockies, or Avalanche. And if you are interested in joining us at Rocky Mountain Sports Report, please feel free to reach out to me. Again, at that email, kingcolermsr.com. We are currently looking for other Avalanche writers and content producers, as well as Colorado Rockies content. Got a big story that I'm going to be writing here soon on the Nolan Arenado trade that happened over this past week. With that, thanks for listening to us this week, and we'll see you guys next week. Mike, thanks for joining me, man. As always, always appreciated.
Always, 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 brother. We'll get together soon. Can't wait. Go Avs.
Go Avs. See you guys next week.